I have never been a fan of the Sunday morning I'm okay, you're okay game, because sometimes we're not. All of you that are sitting here know enough of my story that if I say this has not been a good weekend for me, just with emotional stuff, background stuff, all of that. So that's me going, it's okay to not be okay when we get together. But we're going to take a look at God's word. And Dan got up and read, you know, from 1 Corinthians 13 and Wendy's songs. I thought, what does that have to do with what I'm speaking on? And we're in Proverbs talking about the power of words. Maybe that has a little to do with love. When we look at the book of Proverbs, it's a really interesting book, and you almost never preach on it like this. I've never heard anybody preach on it like this, so I've thought about it for about 20 years. To just pick a theme, and because you can't really start, there's passages in Proverbs you can do this, but you can't like take chapter 19 and preach through the passage with any kind of cohesion. So we're just going to be all over the book of Proverbs. Don't worry about writing down the verses, Connie. I have a list.
Thank you.
My mom used to like contradictory proverbs. See if you can finish these. Many hands make light work, and? Too many chefs spoil the broth. Right? No, not in here. No, this is just common proverbs in our world. Great minds think alike, and?
Small minds differ.
Rules seldom differ. Yeah. Clothes make the man, but don't
be
naked. That's fair. Don't judge a book by its cover. Right? Birds of a feather flock together, and but opposites attract. We say the more the merrier, and we often also say two's company and three's a crowd. Yep. When we come to the book of Proverbs, it is a little bit different in that there's actually some that kind of say almost opposite things at times. And Proverbs, I don't know that most of it was ever intended to build what we would call systematic theology on. It was very practical sayings that are true in most situations. Does that make sense? And so as we go through it, do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than him. So we're not supposed to speak in haste. That's in Proverbs, that one. But there's times when we should speak up in a hurry if something's happening that shouldn't be. Right? And so these are generally true most of the time and are godly principles to live by. But they're not rules in the sense of you must always stop at a red light. When it comes to words in the book of Proverbs, I found 10 different categories of them, of the verses. And so we're going to move pretty quick. When the preacher says 10 different points, you kind of worry. We're going to move pretty quick. We want to start with Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And this was mentioned. I got thinking about this because of our Sunday school class last week, actually, about doing this in Proverbs. It says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That is worrisome. The single biggest factor is what is going on in our hearts. And we have a lot of instruction in Scripture that helps us guide our heart. And it's also very connected to the fruit of the Spirit and allowing Him to transform us, not so much the words that we speak, but what's inside, so that what's inside, when it comes out, reflects him. All right, I've got a lot of verses in here, and we're going to read a lot of verses today. It's not extensive, but it's not not everything in the book of Proverbs that says about how we talk, talks about how we talk. The first category is speaking sparingly. This idea strikes fear into my heart. I tend not to be someone who talks less. I tend to be someone who talks more. 10:14, I won't say Proverbs every time. 10:14, wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. 10:19, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. 13:3, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. 29:20, you see a man who speaks in haste, there is more hope for a fool than him. Speaking too quickly can often lead to trouble, can often lead to sin. That, I don't know, there's names for it, and you can Google this, and I don't know the name for it, but learning how to pause for like 3 or 4 seconds to consider, maybe not that, is helpful. That's 3 or 4 seconds. Proverbs 6:1-3. And this is a little bit different situation, and yet it brings us around to it. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have struck hands and pledged for another, if you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself. Have you ever felt trapped by the words or ensnared by the words of your mouth? Said something you probably shouldn't have? My son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go and humble yourself, press your plea with your neighbor. Humility is a good place to start. Sometimes who we speak to and who we listen to is important. This is number 2. 23 verse 9 says, do not speak to fools, for they will scorn your prudent words.
The wise protect them. In other words, if we say foolish things, we tend to bring trouble onto ourselves.
A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to the soul. I don't know if this is, I don't think this is in Proverbs, I've just heard this one, but the idea of, everybody knows this, what is it? Better to keep your mouth shut and be not a fool than open it and prove that you are, right? Yeah. But there is times to talk. Proverbs 6:8 says, listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. 10:31-32, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. The lips of the righteous know what is fitting. You ever met people who seem to know what to say in any situation? And just go, how do they do that? Well, this is the lips of the righteous, it's the wise that know what to say. Proverbs addresses the idea of gossip or slander. A A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Proverbs 18:8 and 26:22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. It's the exact same verse twice in there. They didn't have computers to do a search back then. I wonder if someone kind of messed up or if God just said, this is important, let's put it in there twice. They go down to the inmost parts. You ever found yourself when someone says, oh, did you hear about this and this? And they start the sentence, and yet just a little bit excited because you're going to hear. Does that not happen to anybody else? You have to fight that ever? And you go, oh, that wasn't really, because it kind of sinks into us, right? 11:13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. And then a little bit different, but similar enough to fit in here. It's tough to categorize some of these. 30 verse 10, do not slander a servant to his master, or he will curse you and you will pay for it. This happens in our world. That we'll go and we'll complain about service, we'll go and complain about this or that. And it's really, really a slander on the person at times. This is kind of the opposite. I was at a seminar once in Swift Current, and I went for supper. And the way I did it, I felt kind of bad because I think there was some nervousness to it all. But I went into Boston Pizza and I was alone, and the girl there said, would you like a paper? Sure. That was nice. You want anything on the TV in particular? There's a hockey game or something. I said, sure, watch this game would be great. They're slow. And just service I'd never had before, so I should have done it differently. But I just said, could I talk to the manager, your manager? And I just said how nice that was. But she wasn't there then, so hopefully he passed that on, because she seemed a little nervous when I asked this. I learned a lesson. But opportunities that we have to bless those who have served us well, and maybe just realize that some people have a bad day and let go of the stuff that isn't helpful. Speaking words of truth. 12:19, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. One of the interesting ones is words of rebuke. The Proverbs talks about giving words of rebuke, correcting somebody. How many people like to be corrected? That's going to be wise, just listen. 7 to 9. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. It is tough to enjoy being rebuked. It's tough to enjoy being corrected, but there's wisdom in it. I think somewhere else, is this scripture, or is this me? That I read somewhere that faithful are the wounds of a friend? That scripture? A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool. Boyd Hopkins, who some of you would know who he is, he does seminars, a lot of spiritual warfare seminars and various things. Tells the story of going to see his mentor. And he walks into the room, and his mentor, from South America, if I remember right, looks at him and goes, pride. I don't know if he smelled this. He said, you need to deal with your pride. You reek of pride. Oh, can't tell you how many times someone could have said that to me. But if I remember right, this is a number of years ago, that began a journey of growth for him. His mentor would be that direct and point it out. Can you think of a time when you were rebuked, and how did you receive that? How about others? Was it received? And it's, yeah. Words of instruction and teaching. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. In 16:23, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. There's three that I found having to do with gracious words. What's gracious? What are gracious words? How would you say if something is gracious? Kind, encouraging, strengthening. The Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. And this might be my favorite one that I've come across here. 16:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Isn't that nice? We remember that. I think I said this in Sunday school last week, is heard the thought that you can live for 3 months on one good compliment. And I think that's very true. And then words of thoughtfulness and gentleness. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Fools die for lack of judgment. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Anybody experience those two? Anybody who's married ever experienced that verse in any way? 15 verse 4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. 18:20-21, the fruit of his mouth a man's stomach is filled, with a harvest from his lips he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And then another one to end on. 25:11-12, a word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. I think it's fair to say that for myself, I've experienced lots of sides of this. On the intake side, on the outgoing side. When I first became a Christian, I think I hurt a friend of mine quite badly, actually. And it's made me hesitant. Maybe not hesitant enough sometimes to say stuff, but it's made me hesitant to step into some situations for fear of hurting others. And it's interesting because I think about these verses and I look and I go, oh, there's actually some guidance there about what I say when, what kind of situation, what kind of words should be spoken. And there's days when my heart is not great. But I find there's a lot of days when what wants to come out of my heart needs guidance, even though my heart is desiring the right thing. And think these verses, and that was a lot of verses. I'll send you a list home if you want to look through some of them. A lot of verses in a lot of different areas, and maybe there's something that caught your eye to go, this is helping my heart speak in the way that, hang on a second. This is helping it come out of my heart in a way that my mouth can say it so that it is a blessing to others. And also sometimes in what we receive from others, we can receive it into our heart if it's coming from a good place. And even if it's not, we can receive it in a good way if someone feels that they need to say something to us. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word. So many instructions for us, so many warnings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have changed our hearts, you have renewed us, you have saved us, you have transformed us, and you are into your likeness, into your image. Pray, Lord, that as songs we sang and what Dan read, that as we speak, others would know that you love them and that they may be aware and know that we love them as well. In Jesus' name, amen.